today, and we've got some good things. So we're going to do a, we're going to use a tool that I want you to understand. The tool is not in any way, shape, or form perfect. Period. Because last time I checked, human beings made it. And it's a tool to do a personal assessment of the spiritual gifts that you have today. Not what you would like to be. Evaluate what you are today. And I would advise you to pray about it. Pray about it. There's 133 questions on it. Ooh, I know, it sounds like homework. I know. Woo. Pastor, are you sure? Yeah. Well, it's to give you a full kind of understanding of where we are in regard to our gifts. You know, the gifts of the Spirit are important because they're there to do two things. They're there to do, one, is to fulfill God's mission on this planet, and two, to be a blessing to the body of Christ. God's mission and the body of Christ. And you can't do it either way without those gifts. I mean, you know, you're just going to have a hard time. It's going to feel like religion if you don't have it by the gift of the Spirit. It's going to feel hard. The best way to have it is where the Spirit just kind of leads you, and it doesn't feel too laborious. It feels like you were meant to do it. You sense that you were made to do it this way. It's nothing you regret. In fact, you wish you could do it again. That's how the Spirit is. Well, we're going to start out. Heavenly Father, bless us as we approach your throne through the blood of Christ. And we ask you to help us with your glorious word today. Help us understand it. Understand what you would have us to properly do to engage the Holy Spirit in our life, in our walk. And empower us that we might be fully equipped. In your name, Lord. Amen. Okay, starting out. Turn on the little clicker here. Let me see. I think that's on. I don't know. Let me try this one. Well, that's not the right direction. Here we go. Okay, well, now I went too far. Sorry. Fruit of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit are different. They're different. They're certainly different. The fruit of the Spirit is the expression of the attributes of God's love through us toward others. The fruit of the Spirit, we know them. Look right quick at Galatians chapter 5. Understand, you know, look at it. It says it's but the fruit of the Spirit, and you notice it says the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is love. Then there's another word that follows it. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Hey, look at this one here. Self-control. And it says against such there is no law. I mean, nothing can restrict those things. The greatest, if you get past 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, you'll hit Galatians. But look at it. You know, these are the fruits of the Spirit. These are how you interact with others as well as the Lord. So look at it. Love. Well, when you have the gift of love, the fruit of love in your life, you're going to be joyful. And joy is not meaning you had a good day. Joy meaning that there is an unexplainable peace or happiness that's going to happen no matter even if you have a bad day. You know, you can have a bad day, but the overarching truth of everything is that God still loved you through it. And that gives you joy because you have love. You get peace even though you have frustration and difficulty and threat of life or whatever. God's going to give you peace because you trust in His love. You trust in His great love.
He's going to be with you, no matter what. Why do we have long suffering with people around us? Why do we put up with people and have, you know, they frustrate you, they irritate you, they cause you pain and suffering or whatever, and but you still have this ability to long suffer with them because of love. I need that one more. I need that one more. Kindness. Even to strangers. Even to people you don't know anything about their religious walk. Why are you kind? Because the overarching fruit is love. All these that follow love fall under love. They're attributes of love. How about goodness? Just being a good person. Because you love. Faithfulness. Being faithful to the Lord. Because you know, He loves you. These are different than gifts of the Spirit. These are things that are very important because Paul said, you know, you can have all the fruits of the Spirit. You can have all these kind of things. He goes, you can have all these spiritual gifts, that is. But without love, it's all meaningless. It continues. Gentleness. When somebody really deserves you to really, you know, you kind of want, like, I want to put that guy in a headlock so bad. But the Lord gives you patience and love so that you're a little bit more gentle. It takes patience. It takes time. And there's been times I haven't been patient. There's time I went right for the headlock first. Things happen, you know. We mess up. But don't worry. It all works out according to those who love the Lord. Self-control. Sometimes some people deserve that, they need someone to lose control on them sometimes, you think, right? Sometimes they are just irritating and frustrating and they need somebody to set them straight. And sometimes after a while, maybe that is required. But self-control is important. You'll go to some churches, and in the middle of church, in the middle of a sermon, or in the middle of singing or whatever, somebody gets wild and in the spirit, they said, and they're just going to be screaming in the back of the church and waving hands or running up and down the aisles in the middle of church. The Holy Spirit will not interrupt Himself. He will not create one thing taking place and then interrupt Himself with something else. There's self-control. People will say, well, the Holy Spirit came on me and I had no choice. He made me do it. Where does self-control come in at? The book of Acts also tells us that we are to do everything in an orderly fashion. Not a radical, you know, fly by the seat of our pants approach. It's not also the opposite where we should be so rigid in our lethargy, our orderliness, that we lose the opportunity of the flow of the Spirit, but there should be a healthy balance. I had one lady come into church one time, she was visiting us. And she says, can I interrupt the church at any time I want and make as loud a noise I want and do anything I want at any time I want? And I said, no. No, you may not. And she goes, but what authority? I said, well, self-control. Right there. She never came back. But that's okay. That's all right. You know, I'm sure she's dancing in some aisle going crazy. But then again, it's okay to express your love and to express what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. I'm a hands raiser, but I'm burdened with a guitar, which makes it really hard to raise hands when you're playing guitar. I love worshiping the Lord in the Spirit. Just raise my hands. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for Him. I'm doing it because I feel good about it, and it's okay. I'm also a mover. I like to dance when the music's good, you know? And But I'm not break dancing or anything, you know. I can't do that. I hurt myself. But There's a difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. David danced before the Lord. Remember that now, okay? So it's okay to move a little bit when you're enjoying yourself. Like I said, hey, does anybody know how to clap hands? I don't think I got any hand clapping. I don't know. I'm still waiting for that tambourine to take off one day over here.
Only because I have no rhythm.
Oh, no. One of those. Oh, no. Well, I'll let you do it anyway because I can usually manage past that. But the gifts of the Spirit are special abilities and miraculous powers to help the church and to promote God's work on earth. These are lesser than the fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit, the greatest of these, is being love. But if you have all the gifts in the world, and you don't got no love, it's just a noise, he says. It's just showmanship. The First Corinthian, or the Corinthian church, you can read about it, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, were so messed up. They did love the Lord. They had the gifts of the Spirit, and they didn't have love, though. And they were competing their gifts against each other, saying, well, my gift is more special than your gift. Oh, shut up. We don't want to hear your prophecy. We want to hear tongues. Or, shut up, we want to hear faith healing, not this or that. And Paul's like going, y'all missed the mark. Totally. Totally missed the mark. Totally missed the mark. Talk about something else. There are some things that are experiencing, or let's just say there are things that are in churches today that are not of the gifts of the Spirit. And if you don't want to come back because I tell you something that frustrates you, I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you. But I will tell you, there's people out there that do what is called slaying in the Spirit. You know what that means? It means that you are murdered in the Spirit. Stop and think about it. There's not a biblical example anywhere in the Bible of someone coming up to somebody, touching them, and they pass out or have convulsions on the floor. The only ones that ever had anything close to that in the Bible were people who were possessed by demons. You watch videos in Africa where voodoo, sorcery, and all that is taking place. You have that. But you have no biblical example. The closest biblical example I ever saw anybody give me one time was when Jesus was on the Mount of Olives and they came to arrest him. And Jesus says, well, here I am. And he stepped forward and the men were so afraid they fell backwards. And they said, that's it, slaying in the Spirit. So God is blessing the people that are there to kill him. Not. That's a reach. But there are times when you could be in prayer. You could be in meditation with the Holy Spirit, and you've been there for a while, and you lose track of time. You're not aware, and sometimes when it ends, you may feel a little lightheaded even. That's very possible. But God does not bring you down on your back. He brings you to your knees that you might be prostrate before Him. Usually, when those who are surrendering themselves are not on their back, kicking and screaming, rolling around on the carpet. But usually they're just gently down before the Lord on their face, prostrate before Him, in a humble receiving of Him, of where He wants them. Me, I don't get on the ground. I don't need to. I got invited years and years and years ago to a guy invited me to come. They were having a revival at the church. I didn't know what kind of church it was. I just went. And they had a guy there, and he said, we're all going to come down and get prayed for it. And I said, okay, I like prayer. And I look in there, and he's touching people, and they're going, boink, boink, boink. They're all falling down. And he comes over to me and goes, and he hits me in the head. And I look at him, and I almost wanted to punch him back. You know? I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he goes, just go with it. And I said, well, I don't feel like going with it. I said, you want to lay hands on me and pray for me? Go for it. I said, but I'm not going to go down on the ground like that. That's not right. And two of the guys took me to the back and they explained, well, that's how we do it here in this church. And I said, well, good for y'all. You know, that's great. It's your thing. I've asked guys to show me in the Bible one verse on this side of the cross, and I can't find it, that supports that behavior. I've seen people say, well, my wife and I, we were facing divorce, but I got slayed in the spirit, and I'm better now. We're not getting divorced. I don't understand that. I'm glad they're not getting divorced. But an external experience does not always mean an internal experience. Keep that in mind. And that everything we do, we should do it God-honoring and respectful. There will be times when the gifts of the Spirit are very flamboyant. You say, well, what gifts are you talking about? There are different gifts. There are two major gifts that are probably the most flamboyant. One is the speaking in tongues gift and prophecy. Those are the two most flamboyant, but they're also the two most controversial. Very controversial. I do not speak in tongues, but I know good, solid Christians that have had the gift of tongues, and they speak. The Southern Baptists do not believe in the gifts of tongues for a long time. But they started noticing that their missionaries in the field, out in the unchristianized world, were people who were filled with the gifts of the Spirit, other missionaries. And they were speaking in tongues and other things. And they noticed that those churches were growing. So the Southern Baptists agreed that if a missionary who is Southern Baptist is filled with the Spirit and does receive the gift of tongues, that is permissible in the field of missionary work. But you do not see it openly in the churches that are Southern Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostals. Sometimes you certainly will see in Pentecostal churches, but there are different churches and different approaches. But as we go through it, you'll see there are some people who have certain gifts. I do not have the gift of tongues, but I did have one moment, one small thing happen one time. About this time last year, the Lord put on my heart something that was going to happen that was going to be extremely challenging, and I did not understand what He meant. He just put on my heart there was going to be a great and difficult challenge last year. And I thought, what could be more challenging than what we already went through, Lord? We just went through COVID and all that mess. And I didn't understand it, but I came before the church after a while, and the Lord had told me that it wasn't about what the church was going to go through, but I was going to personally go through something very challenging. Personally, me. And I just came before the church like in October, the first week of October, and I said, I think the Lord's going to put me through a challenge. I'm going to go through a challenge. I don't know what it is. Don't know what it means. Well, the last week in December, I found out I got laid off. And I guess that was been my six-month challenge, because I will tell you, I'm the kind of guy that I'm not so much who I am, but I'm sometimes what I do. I think the greatest challenge had to be with Suzanne, that she had to put up with me for 6 months not having a job. Pray for her. Pray for her. But people say, well, what was that? And I said, well, I think that was a prophecy the Lord gave that was personally for me. That was going to be a challenge, but He didn't say it's going to be the death of me. It wasn't going to be a destruction in me. But has the Lord ever spoke to your heart about something? Has He ever said something and it came true? You didn't know what it meant. You didn't know for sure. But then when it happens, you go, oh, wow. Wow. Never really had much more than that. But I had that one moment. And that's been very, very eye-opening. But the gifts of the Spirit are different than the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit is about love. The gifts of the Spirit is about your abilities to, and miraculous power that God gives the church, the believers, to promote God's work on earth and to bless the church, to be that blessing. There's a plethora of gifts, though. I mean, there's like 12 to 15 major categories, and underneath every category, there's all these different things that occur. Look at the next one here. What is the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit? 1 Corinthians says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It's not all about you. Now, there is one exception. One exception. The gifts of tongues is not always for all. It is primarily an expression that is primarily gifted toward God. It's something you're doing toward God. It says in 1 Corinthians 4:14, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. You see, the tongues, when they first occurred at Pentecost, it was asked, you know, what's going on here? What is this? And it was described that these men were offering praise to God. Some churches mistaken this, and they think that it's okay for a person to have tongues, and that somehow tongues is going to have an interpretation. And the interpretation becomes a prophecy. Wrong. Tongues, when interpreted, is never prophecy. Because prophecy, we're told, is spoken clearly and factually. Tongues, though, can be an unknown language that edifies what? Edifies the person who's speaking it. But it's described in Acts chapter 2 as worship to God. So if a person translates or interprets a tongue, it's always praise to God. They're not going to say a prophecy. It's not. It's just praising God. And in some cases, if there's not an interpretation with a tongue, then it is instructed that they remain quiet to themselves as a soft prayer language. I've been in churches where there's no interpretation, where a person's over there and there's like real quiet and they're to themselves and they're during worship. They have an experience where they're praising in tongues and all they're doing is expressing in a language that is unknown. Now, tongues are also some very difficult things to understand about tongues. In some situations, it was where God gave a person the ability to speak a foreign known language. This really helped when you were taking the gospel into the world and you went to places you didn't have someone interpreting for you. You also then had sometimes language that was unknown and you had the gift of interpretation. The Bible says, pray, you know, if you do have the gift of tongues, pray that you also have the gift of interpretation, meaning you may also be able to self-interpret, or there might be someone over here in the front of the church speaks in a tongue at a certain time and place, and someone at the back maybe has the gift of interpretation. They will not overlayer each other. The Bible says when one speaks, it is heard what they have said. The elders look on, and if there's an interpretation, then that person stands up and speaks. No chaos, no nuts. And people say, well, I don't know where I am on all this. That's fine, because there was a period of my life I didn't know all this, and I wasn't sure. But I do know one thing. I'm not going to remove it from the Bible. In fact, the Bible also says, do not restrict the speaking of tongues, but does not say that we can't be orderly. Cannot be, you know, chaotic, though. But it's very interesting. There's one gift, though, that has one exception. Everything else is for everybody. But this is the one exception. Going on, the gift of tongues. Let's talk about it a little bit. We can read Joel 2:28. It's quoted by Peter. Peter talks about it in 2:17. Since we're in the neighborhood, let's jump over to 2:17 in Acts chapter 2:17 right quick. And remember, Peter was a guy who didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus before the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And after that, he was a different kind of guy. He was much more bolder. And He stands up in front of the whole world and he preaches the truth. And looking at 17, I'll start in 14, it even reads better. It says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose,'" since it's only the third hour in the day, it's only 9 in the morning, they're not drunk. "But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel." Verse 17, "And it shall come to pass, in the last days, said God, that I will pour out my spirit on" what? "All flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." You ever have a vision? Vision's different than a dream. A vision is something you see and encounter and you're awake. You dream a dream, it's in a dream state. You ever dream a dream that God gave you that really affected you? It goes on and says, "My men servant and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above the signs of the earth and beneath. Blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall turn into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." We know this is what you call a dual purpose prophecy statement that Joel made. It was both, for Joel, it was all future for him. But for Peter repeating it, it's both present as well as future, because we know in the last days that are facing ahead of us, ahead of the world, that's coming soon, there will be even these greater things, the signs in the heaven of the last days. The revelation of John will eventually be played out on this earth, and you'll have the great tribulation, and all those events will happen. But it's very important for us to know that this is factual, and I'm not going to remove this from the Bible. I'm not going to avoid it. I'm not going to say it don't exist. I'm not going to put my hands over my ears and go, nah, 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 nah. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it with John 3:16, nor am I going to do it with any other scripture, because it's sacred. It's holy. And people don't like it, they can hit the road. That's how I am. And I've had people wave as they go out the door. I've had people, when I taught on this before, say, "Well, we're Baptists." I said, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here if you're Baptist? I know a couple of really great Baptist churches where you will flourish. Let me recommend them to you." But it's okay, because every jot and diddle, according to Jesus, will not pass away, he said. Not a single word will pass away. But it passes away in a lot of churches because they will just totally avoid the scriptures that talk about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Because some churches have it more than others, and the churches that don't seem to have it resent those other churches that do have it, and thus they try to assume that these things don't exist anymore. How many of y'all have known somebody that's been healed from prayer? I know people have been healed miraculously with prayer. How many of you have known somebody to need a gift of works, and someone came along in their life who had the gifts of works to help them? Yeah, man, amen, amen. Mark chapter 16, it says, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues." Wow. That is before Pentecost. Okay? They will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. Wow. Was Jesus telling the truth? Of course he was. Why do we not practice it? Because people don't call on the Holy Spirit as much as they should. They don't know the abundance of the gifts in the purpose of the gifts. And they're different. They think, well, I can get by on just the fruit of the Spirit because love is superior. Love won't fix somebody's flat tire unless you have the gift of works to do it. Love won't do a lot of things unless you have the gift and ability to do it. And there's a plethora, again, of all these gifts. But there's a balance. And I think the Lord wants us to know that there is a balance, and these things are not to be ignored. I want to teach the whole Bible, and I want you to grow in it. And I want you to go home, and I want you to wrestle with the Word of God. I want you to wrestle with it. I want you to be frustrated even at times with it, that it doesn't match up with what you thought you expect or was expected of you. Continuing. Have the gifts of tongues ended? No. Tongues, again, are one of the most controversial. Here's a verse that I want you all to pay attention to that a lot of churches use to assume that the gifts have ended. This is in 1 Corinthians 13. A love chapter. Amazing, using the love chapter as a weapon. But it happens. Look what it says. Clearly it says, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect, underline that in your Bible, has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. Then he goes on, he says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then, meaning when we're face to face, I shall know just as I also am known. Very interesting. But look at this one little part right here. It says, first of all, it says, there are prophecies, and they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. And some churches will key in on this one right here. They don't care so much about the prophecy stuff. It's the tongue one that frustrates them. And they'll say, well, the perfect down here is mentioned, which has come. The perfect has come. They'll say, well, we know what the perfect is. It's the King James Bible. When the King James Bible got printed, we no longer needed these tongues, because we could print the Bible in every possible language. But I will tell you, the other opinion on this scripture is that the perfect is when Jesus returns to the earth. We won't need all these special gifts and powers, because all will know Jesus. Jesus will be all in all. You will no longer need tongues as a witness to the unbeliever. It says tongues is like a witness to the unbeliever, because they'll look at it like they did in Acts chapter 2 when they saw this miraculous event happening, and they were seeing these men speaking in like a Galilean, yet they were hearing in their ears foreign languages. And they could not understand, but they knew this was a miraculous event. And it gave us a witness. But when Jesus is finally here on this earth and he has returned, he is the perfection that we all seek. This is the position I take. What's your position? I believe Scripture is holy. And I believe it's all given and spoken by God. And God has given us this great book. But I don't believe this applies to the book, because this thing wasn't written for a long time. And most most people who deny the gifts of the Spirit being active, they believe it ended when John died. When John died, the last apostle died, they believe that was it. There were no more special gifts after that happening. Oh yeah, you can pray for somebody, and there's been an occasional healing here and there, but they believe, especially the gift of tongues, ended. I never found where that's been written at. This is the only verse that they will use. But I want you to be aware of it. And you have a brain, and you have the Holy Spirit operating inside of you. You decide. I remember when I was in seminary. I went to a seminary that was Southern Baptist. And they loved this verse. And they stood on it. They thought the perfect was the King James original Bible. They believed that was it. That was the perfection that they were seeking. On my understanding, coming from a Calvary, I believe the perfection is Jesus. Because when we look at the verses here, it says, then that which is in part will be done away with. You see, a person can prophesy and not understand the prophecy yet. May not know exactly what it means. Like, there was a prophecy given in Genesis chapter 3. But no one knew what it meant. That the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. That's a prophecy. And a lot of people thought, well, what is that? And Adam and Eve probably thought, well, when we have a new baby, the seed of the woman, Seth, he's going to crush the serpent that caused all these problems. Wrong. He didn't do it, but one of his descendants did, named Jesus the Christ. That was the fulfillment of the prophecy. Sometimes you get prophecies you don't know. You know them only in part. But a rule on the prophecy is that it has to be fulfillable, and it has to be aligned with Scripture. Going on from there, it says, that which is in part will be done away with. And he goes on, he says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I stood as a child. And he goes on here, he says, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. There are some folks that use the gifts. They don't understand them completely. And that's okay. That's all right. I don't understand even all of Scripture completely. But God will work with you on your gifts and mature you. There's coming a time, though, when you have become a man, or fully matured. One day we'll all be fully matured. Anybody in this room fully glorified yet? No? No? So we're all maturing still? One day when you're fully mature, and I will be, and you will be, and we'll be walking with the Lord in the great kingdom age, we're not going to be battling over what gifts exist or anything. Because God will be all in all. And it's all going to be good. And we'll be blessed. But I want you to know this. I want you to be educated. And I want you to be able to discuss this with people that you might meet. Continuing. Unique types of tongues. Again, we kind of mentioned it. Tongues that are in known languages require no interpretation. They went into strange lands and God gave Paul or somebody a gift of tongues. Paul said he did speak in tongues. And all of a sudden he could speak and understand. Isn't it kind of strange? Now they all had very common languages, but there were times they didn't have the common language. Koine Greek was very common, but it wasn't always known everywhere. They went to Asia Minor, and there was a lot of variety of languages there. It goes on, tongues occur in unknown languages and need interpretation. You know, and that's just the way it is. Or should remain private prayer. And this is the verse you can read. This is between the believer and God. And it's 1 Corinthians 14:6-33. Great chapter to read. What is the purpose of prophecy? These are the two most, controversial. Remember that one verse we looked at a while ago, and it says that the signs shall follow the church, not the church follow the signs. A lot of times people will hear, hey, I hear down at that church down the street, they're having people getting healed and there's all kinds of miracles happening. Let's go. Well, that's the church following the signs. But according to Scripture, the signs will follow them. The signs will follow them. But can go on in 1 Corinthians 14:3. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Key points to remember. It's always in harmony with Scripture. When it gets off of harmony with Scripture, you become like the Book of Mormon. You become a Mormon, or you become a Jehovah's Witness, and you become what? A cult. When things are accepted that are not aligned with Scripture, it becomes a cult, and you don't want that. But it's also comforting to men, according to the Scripture. It's comforting. So if a person gives a prophecy and says something ridiculous like, the Lord gave me a prophecy that tomorrow at 3 a.m. a large meteor is going to hit the earth and we're all going to die. Amen. Right? Well, that doesn't line up with Scripture. And it certainly isn't too comforting, is it? Now people say, well, what about Revelation? There's a lot of prophecy in Revelation and it sounds pretty dark and gloomy and destructive. To the non-believer it is. But when I read it, glory, glory, glory in that prophecy. Because there's nothing negative for the believer. Oh, you might lose your head if you're a believer during the tribulation and you don't take the mark of the beast and they kill you. But they kill you, you get to go to heaven and be glorified and be listed as an overcomer and get a white robe and hang out with the Lord. All good. But it should be uplifting. Someone ever comes to you and says, hey brother, I've got a prophecy the Lord has for you. And they pull you aside quietly and they give you this gloom and doom like, hey, your wife's going to cheat on you. The Lord's telling me your wife is cheating on you, or it's going to cheat on you, or your child's going to die tomorrow in a car accident. You know, I would really question where the harmony is. There are a couple occasions. Agabus in the New Testament gave a prophecy that a famine was going to happen, and it happened. Joseph interpreted a dream, remember that, for Pharaoh? And he said, hey, there's going to be 7 good years and 7 bad years. But it all worked out for the glory of God, and it helped Egypt survive. Agabus gave another prophecy. Agabus in the New Testament said, the Lord is showing me this, but I do not understand. So he took a person's belt off of their robe, and he took Paul, and he tied his hands and says, the Lord is showing me what this is. I don't know what this means. Well, we all knew what this meant, that Paul was going to be arrested in Jerusalem. There had been other prophecies following that also, that Paul was going to be arrested. You say, well, that's very negative. No, it wasn't. Because Paul gets arrested. He gets handed over to the Romans, and the Romans pay an all-expense paid trip for him to go to Rome and share the gospel. He gets shipwrecked. He shares the gospel. He gets imprisoned. He shares it with soldiers. It wasn't negative. It looked negative. Okay. Key Galatians. Prophecy must be in harmony. Galatians 1:8, certainly. Deuteronomy tells us also this very, 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 very extremely important thing. If a person gives a prophecy, a real prophecy is going to be something a little bit detailed. It's not going to say something that's ambiguous. It's not going to say, there shall be a gentle breeze coming. Well, there's a gentle breeze almost every day the wind blows. But it's going to be very detailed. A person who is considered a false prophet would give a false prophecy. Well, they had a way to deal with false prophets. They executed them. Okay? So when a person uses a gift in the body of Christ, the elders look on, and if someone is getting kind of stupid or says something that's not biblical, it says the elders are to address it. prophecy is the most important one of all, Paul said. If he said, if you had any gift, prophecy, because it lets you know what's coming. It kind of lets you know where the breadcrumbs are in this difficult walk. So, going on. List of gifts. Here we go. Administration, faith, and leadership. You have apostleship, which means that you're a messenger, meaning you have the gift of wanting to be a missionary. The gift of giving. Sometimes people, everything, you ever know anybody, no matter what they touch, turns to gold? That they get in business and they just make money, 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 money. And God blesses them and they just seem to be able to give more. They love giving. They give even when it's hard to give. They love giving. That's the gift of giving. The gift of faith is when it all looks dark and gloomy, there's somebody standing there with you going, oh, but the Lord's going to work it all out. It's all great. Praise God. That's that guy who has the gift of faith. The glass is more than half full sometimes for them. It's never half empty. The gift of mercy. When somebody really is a nasty person, the gift of mercy, somebody looks upon them and goes, something really terrible must have happened to them. Something horrible must have happened to them. Oh, Lord. Lord, help me pray for them. Help me comfort them. When somebody has done you wrong and you want revenge, but the Lord softens your heart, He gives you the gift of mercy. Going on. Craftsmanship. Are you good with your hands? Are you good making things? Have you built things for people? Do you like making things? Are you creative? Are you artistic? I like when you read the book of Exodus, you know, and Leviticus and all that, and they're getting tabernacle is going to get built. It says that the Lord poured His Spirit out on artisans who were good with working with wood and steel and fabrics and all kinds of stuff. Are you creative? Here's one that's really awesome that gets overlooked, but it's one of the most productive ones in the whole body of Christ, I think. It's the gift of helps. It's where somebody down the street has a flat tire. Hey, you know how to change a tire. And it bothers you. You drive by and you see that flat tire. And you see that guy out there struggling. And you're like going, oh Lord, I got to go deal with that. I got to go help. I remember one time I was driving. And I saw this guy on the side of the road. When I usually see it's a guy, I just like, he can fix his own tire. You know, he's a guy. But I saw this guy, and I saw the most desperate look in his eyes I ever saw anybody look at me with. And as I drove by, I saw this guy's eyes, and I thought, something's not right. So I turn around, I go back, and he had a really cheap scissor jack, and it had fallen twice on him, and it caught his hand on one of the falls and damaged his hands. And there he is on the side of the road, desperately trying to change a tire with one hand. And I was like, dude, I have a floor jack right in my back seat. Let me get it out. Let me help you. You know, that was a moment. I loved doing that. That was just meant to be. You know, the gift of prophecy, again, that's very important. It can be personally to you. It can be personally to somebody else. It can be also, you know, you ever have somebody, you know, is going through something and you've been praying for them and the Lord gives you a prophecy saying, it's going to be all right. Just tell them it's going to be okay. Comforting them with a word from God that says, it's going to be all right. That's a prophecy. Going on. Creative. This is not just being good with tools and things. But it can also be that you have the ability to be creatively, and I believe it or not, you're going to get a list of all these today. See, I've got this great little document here with all kinds of good stuff in there for you. So if you overlook one, don't worry, we got it covered. Maybe you have a way of creating stuff that is a blessing. Maybe you're a decorator. Maybe you are a crafter. Maybe you're an artisan. Maybe you know how to create a Bible lesson that keeps the kids' attention. You know? Who knows what you can do? Hospitality is one that's often overlooked. Hospitality is not just being hospitable. So when someone comes into the church, there's always that one person that runs over and says, "Hey, I'm so glad you're here. Oh, it's so awesome. Hey, would you like a cup of coffee?" That's being just treating them like a guest, treating them blessedly. But it's also one who has the gift of being a party animal. Yes, that you like to cook and you like to invite people over and you like to hang out and play music and dance and enjoy life. That's a fun gift. That's a great gift. That's a powerful gift. Nothing like breaking bread. You go through the New Testament, you see how many times Jesus goes to people's houses and parties and has a good time? He's always going and eating. They even accused him of being a glutton and a wine bibbler. Shepherding. Shepherding's not always for pastors. Sometimes it's counseling. Sometimes you've gone through a tragedy and you don't understand why. There's no sense in it, you think. There was no purpose in it. But you come through it, and then later you're able to come beside somebody who's going through something similar, and you're able to comfort them and shepherd them through something, to counsel them, to give them guidance, to help them. Very important. Communication. Are you a geek? You know how to fix an internet site that's not working right? You know how to write out a statement of faith, or you know how to communicate with a banner outside, to do the artwork and the little banner thing out there? Suzanne does that quite often. You know how to communicate, not just with words. I like what C.S. Lewis says, you know, that we need to just be able to communicate not just with words, but with our actions. Do your actions communicate? Do you know how to communicate with people that don't want to hear from you? Can you communicate the gospel? You know how to share the gospel? You know how to witness to people? Intercession. This is huge, and I've seen this already being demonstrated in this church on many occasions. It's where people step in and they pray for one another and they pray for others. They step in. Intercession is usually about prayer and about a spiritual thing, but it's also saying, "Hey, your roof has a leak. Let me come over and fix it." That's where that gift of craftsmanship or helps comes in. You're interceding. You're saying, "Hey, let me help you with that." Intercession is very important. The gift of wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is not knowledge always, but it's wisdom is the correct and right use of knowledge. Just because you have head knowledge doesn't mean everybody's wise. Sometimes you got to make the right decisions, and sometimes you got to hold off. But having that wisdom, do you have that? Sometimes I do, but not often. Discernment. This is the one I wished I had all the time. Can you discern something when you encounter somebody? Do you sense something's not right? Do you sense something's wrong? Do you sense somebody's carrying a pain? I'll have people come into the church, and you'll see I'm making a beeline right away sometimes. I'm making a beeline. I'm fighting my way through the crowd. I'm coming over. And I want to go to that one person because I saw him come in, and I sometimes sense something's been hard on him that day. Sometimes I don't hear it at all. But when you have the discernment, it's like a burden that's been laid on your heart till you deal with it. You ever that... discernment that something difficult's coming. It can kind of cross over to a prophetic way of looking at something. These things happen. These are not extraordinary things. These are common things in the New Testament church. Very common. But they're rare today. People aren't aware of all these gifts and all these things. And they're good and they're healthy and they're profitable for us. And we go into the battle of this world unarmed because we have not asked for gifts. Jesus says certainly that he wants to give us good gifts. The Father wants to give us good gifts. He's never restricted you from having anything good from you. Teaching. Do you like teaching? Do you have a way of communicating? Do you have the ability to talk? Do you have the ability to keep people's interest? Do you have the ability to not get your feelings hurt when you're teaching? Because some people will just ignore you or whatever. Teaching. You have that yearning inside that you want to teach. Say you're a lady and you want to teach young ladies how to get through some of the hardships and difficulties. Maybe you want to teach scripture. Maybe you want to teach life principles. Suzanne taught a wonderful class to a bunch of teenage girls one time on modesty. What a challenge. On modesty. You got a call for teaching? There's a place for you. We will never, ever, ever, I'll never, ever go over to you and go, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. Because you'll do it for a while. But if the Holy Spirit has, through your gifts and through His wooing of you, He will call you to do something. You'll come to me and go, I have a need to do whatever. And I'll be saying, cool, go for it. How can I help? How can I help? And that's what we need. Encouragement. How many of y'all know Winnie the Pooh? The opposite of encouragement is Eeyore, the little donkey. It's all going to end terrible. We're all going to die. We're all going to have a bad day. And then Tigger is the Mr. Encouragement, isn't he? He's bouncing around. He's happy. He's praising the Lord. Think about it that way. He's always encouraging. He's looking at you going, oh, man, you did that so awesome. Can you do it again? He's the one looking at you going, look at you. Look how the Lord is using your gifts. The Bible says that we are to build one another up, to stir one another up unto what? Unto more good works. So when you see somebody, don't compete your gift against them, like the 1 Corinthians chapters describe. But build up people going, that is awesome. That's an awesome gift. That's an awesome gift. Knowledge. Knowledge is not wisdom, remember. Knowledge. Does you read the Bible and things stick? Are you able to connect the dotted lines on the principles outlined in Scripture and connect those things? Maybe you have the gift of knowledge. Evangelism. Outreaching. Maybe you're not a pastor. And there's a difference between being a pastor and an evangelist. A pastor is a shepherd, one who takes care of a flock. An evangelist is one who likes impacting people out there. You like talking about the Lord. You like sharing experiences. You like coming beside people and sharing what you're going through. That's very possible. You might have that gift. That'd be great. Now, as we get ready to go into our document we're going to give out today, it is, again, it's an assessment. All it is just a self-tool with some of this information on it that you can look at and then determine. We're going to close here, and then we're going to go through the document, and then you're on your own. And as we do this, and as you do this, don't do it with an ink pen. Please do it with a pencil. Do it with a pencil. You don't have to fill out the document to yourself. And it's not your wife's, and it's not your cousin's, and it's not even my document. It's your document. And again, don't go through it thinking, I want to have this gift. All right, just go honest and answer it. Now let's close in prayer and then we'll jump into the assessment tool. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless us. And just, Lord, I pray holy blessings over this wonderful fruitful group of people, that they will grow in your spirit, and that you will show them things that they didn't think of, and that you will reward them, and they will be useful tools to bless the body of Christ as well as you, Lord. We just bless you and thank you. Amen.